All right. If any children, crew want to come up here, we'll start doing our message for the kids. The younger disciples. Something like that. All right. Thanks, y'all. Love it. Okay. So last week, I don't know, do any of y'all remember what was talked about last week at all? If you were here, you got an idea, talk to me. Yes, the plague. So what was the last plague? Yes, the death of the firstborn sons, right? What did they have to do at that point? Remember the Passover? They had to take the blood of the spotless lamb, put it on the doorposts, and the angel of death would come by. And if they had that, by listening to God's commands, they'd pass over, and then thus was saved from that. What a beautiful image of Christ in that coming days. But now, what you just answered, so why did the firstborn of Egypt die? You remember that? What did I just say? Because they didn't put the blood on the doorpost that they listened to when Moses told them, right? They did not spread the lamb's blood on the doorways of their houses. So that caused it. Yeah, you did. You knew. Yeah, I don't want to either. But of course, the Pharaoh had a firstborn, and he didn't listen. He heeded God's warning. His heart was hardened, and his son died. But now, what did Pharaoh command Israel to do after Egypt's firstborn died? So what did the Pharaoh do after that? What did he tell him to do? Yeah. It's like, just get out. After 10 plagues, you think, by that's a long time. Yes. You ready to say something, Cannon?
Oh, yeah. Get out and take all your livestock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. They took the gold, they plundered them. God promised them wealth in that sense, and they took that with them. So yeah, get out of the bunch. Israel had a mighty exodus out of Egypt, just as God had promised, right? Remember that from Abraham, that he told them in the beginning they'd be enslaved for 400 years. They were enslaved, and God was going to be the one to bring them out of that. Maddie, focus, buddy. Cannon's right there. He loves Cannon. He's like staring at him like this. Oh, okay. So I'm going to read some questions, right? And then we'll go into scripture, okay? So three questions to think about. Actually, make sure I got it right. Yep, there we go. Okay. Where did the Lord lead Israel when they came out of Egypt? So think in your mind. When they're coming out of Egypt, where did they lead them? What did Moses take with him out of Egypt? I know it's vague, but you'll know when I read the scripture. And then in what form did the Lord go ahead of the children of Israel? Right? So keep those questions in mind. We're all going to turn to Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to go through verses 17 through 22. So Exodus 13, 17 through 22. And it's basically the part right after they come out of Egypt and he's guiding through the wilderness in the pillar of cloud and fire. Now it happened that when Pharaoh had let his people go, or let the people go, God did not guide them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence, God turned the people to the way of the wilderness, to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in the battle from the land of Egypt, and Moses took the bones of Joseph, keep in mind, took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall bring up my bones from here with you. Then they set out from Succoth and camped in Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And Yahweh was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to guide them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light. Hey, what's up, buddy? That they might go day by and day night. And he did not take any pillar of, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Yeah, come on in. That's beautiful. Okay, so we just had the scripture tell us, right? They were leaving away from Egypt, and they were going to go in two paths, and God directed them one other path because the land of Philistines was, they weren't battle ready, right? The Israelites just got free, and God's taking them, and they're like, we don't want to go this direction because it's a battle thing. We don't want to fight. So we're going to go through the Red Sea, the wilderness part of it. But the big point of this was the aspect of how God is leading them. What form he is in this? So the question, where did the Lord lead Israel when they came out of Egypt? Do you guys remember? Yes, the wilderness. This was a test for their faith. And they had to trust the Lord for safety and food, water, and leadership, right? Because they're being led in a desert. And if you remember, they led how many years? Do you remember? Anyone? Was it 50 years? Was it 30 years?
30 years.
30 years? Whoa, he's confident. Yeah. Or how about 40? That's right, son. 40. Yeah, you... He still stays with it. Okay, Deuteronomy 8:2 actually speaks of this. And you shall remember all the way which Yahweh your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So it was a test. You're going to have to trust God to get you through this wilderness for 40 years. Okay? That's a big test. Now, what did Moses take with him out of Egypt? What was the one thing he took with him? Do you remember what I pointed out? I poked my head. But he did take all his people, that's true. But he took one specific thing. The bones of who? Joseph, that's right. Yes, son. The bones of Joseph, right? Because remember in Genesis 50, Joseph knew this unwavering part that Abram talked about, that they'd be free in those 400 years. So Joseph wanted his bones to be carried to the promised land because his faith was in the promise of Abraham. Abraham basically prophesied what God told him, and he wanted to see it through. And so he told him to take my bones with you, right? So that's what he took out of Egypt, Joseph's bones. And in what form did the Lord go ahead of the children of Israel? Remember? Yeah, by what?
By day.
Yes.
Pillar of night, fire by night.
Yes. Pillar of cloud by day, giant smoke, and fire by night so they could see too. What a wonderful thing. So what's our main point? The Lord's personal presence went with Israel as he led them out of Egypt into the wilderness. Could you imagine just following God day and night for 40 years in a pillar of fire and cloud? That's pretty extreme. I don't even know what I would do. I'd kind of be nervous, but we trust in him, right? So, throw a question to you guys. Have you guys ever been lost somewhere? You just get lost, yeah. Maybe a supermarket. You know, I got lost one time, but that was sadly my choice. But I got lost before, right? We all been lost. Or, yeah, okay, then this will speak to you all, okay. So, or maybe you were lost in the woods. Or getting lost can be a scary thing. You guys ever been scared? Yeah? Yeah? Sure, and that's scary, right, to get lost? I've been scared a lot. Not to mention, it's also, what, very dangerous, because you're alone, you're scared, you don't know where you're at. Now, that is why children should stick close to their parents, right? Because your parents are guiding you so that you will go in the right direction, okay? So your parents provide food and drink for you. Do you ever thank your parents for all the food and water they provide for you in a house? You should. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. And grandparents and whoever you live with, just to thank them, right? So your parents provide food and drink for you, and they protect you from danger. They protect you from the world around you. They warn you about the things that are out there. So as long as they are by your side, you have nothing to fear. So Israel, right? Israel fled Egypt, okay? They got free. They came out of there. God brought them out of that, and they journeyed through the wilderness. But the wilderness was filled with dangers. Can you name me some dangers of living in a desert, in a wilderness?
Snakes.
Yes, that's right. Die of thirst.
I forgot what those people's names, the people that lived over there, but they attacked the Jews.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I might have it here. You might be gotten me on it. You're good. Yes.
Starvation.
Starvation, yeah. So food, water, shelter, safety. Who's going to lead them? Like, that's a big fear living in the desert. Where I live out there, I have snakes a lot, right?
Hydration.
Yes, and hydration. That's good. So filled with dangers. So there was dangers of running out of water, food, dangers of hot sun boiling down on you, bitter cold at night. Desert cold is pretty chilly. Living, let's say, in a desert, but, and also the dangers of the enemies around us, right? Like you said. And not least of all, the danger of getting lost. So the Israelites had nothing to fear as long as the Lord's presence was with them, right? Why have any fear when you have God himself coming down in the form of a cloud and fire by day? Like, who's going to mess with that? You saw a cloud of fire in the desert. Would you go after them?
No.
I probably wouldn't. I don't know if anyone would. If they do, something's kind of off, but that's up to them. So, as long as they would trust in the Lord. So Israel will not get lost because the cloud of God's glorious presence and went above them and ahead of them, always in the front. So God was their provider. He was their protector and covering. He protected them from enemies and dangers of all kinds. As long as they would trust the Lord and follow him as their guide. That's the big point. As long as they trust the Lord and followed him. Because if they said, you know, I don't want to follow the Lord and go away, well, they're going to have to deal with all that. That's dangerous. As long as they would trust the Lord and follow him, he would lead them the way they should go. So believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise, now we're going to be in this point, travel through a dangerous wilderness. I mean, every day, don't we go through a dangerous wilderness every day? You wake up in the morning, you go into the world. You know, we're soldiers of the world. We have to have faith in Christ to get us through our normal day-to-day life. And that's the world. If we are not careful, we can stray away from obeying God and getting lost. It's very easy. It's hard. Enemies such as, can you name some enemies of that we deal with daily? Like temptation, sin, right? And the devil can attack us in that. We can starve spiritually if we don't get spiritual food and drink by reading of what? The Bible. And by not going to church. Because what do we do in church? We have fellowship with one another. We study the word and music, songs, spirit and truth. Yes. That's true. That's very true. You sure can. You might start talking to the animals and having parties with the animals out there. And then you start seeing things like mirages, right? But they probably didn't have that because they were following God. So what a beautiful thing. So we don't get spiritual food by drinking and reading the word. We miss that. And by going to church to hear the sound of preaching, right? We hear the word by the preaching of the word. That's what sustains us, that feeds us, and we desire that word and nutrients, right? We desire the meat. I want a prime rib. You know, while Ray and Owen's talking right there, I want prime rib, right? Don't y'all? Okay. And of course, lastly, by praying. Your prayer life is so important in your day-to-day walk. That's how you commune with God. And if you don't do that, it's going to be a very hard walk without prayer. But as long as we follow the Lord's leadership and stay under the covering of his presence, he will take care of all our needs and bring us safely home, even to glory. So I said a lot. I got two questions to end this off. How is the Lord even better provider, protector, and leader than, say, our parents? Because right now, here's Matthew. I can take care of him. You know, I can feed him. I can water him. But what's something... You know, he knows, but what's something I can't do? What, I can feed him and water him, but what's something I can't do? Yes, yeah. So we care for the needs of Matthew, okay? But God alone can meet our deepest, truest spiritual needs. I can't do that for him. I can guide him in the ways of the Lord. I can read scripture to him, but ultimately it's God who does that. He alone can meet those needs eternally. So we as parents... We struggle because I want to emphasize this, that we're also sinners. We're called to take care of our children. That's a calling God's given us to raise them as their gifts to us. But I'm just a sinner just like he is. I can mess up just as easily. That's why we need trust in God in that to help us get through that, to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord, right? That's what we trust in our parents for. But we are called by that. Now, if God's presence no longer leads us like the cloud that we can see, how can we know he's leading us? So pillar's gone, fire's gone. Well, how do we know? What do we have today that helps us with that?
The Bible.
Yes. So simple, but so true. He leads us through his word, his all-sufficient word that has everything we need for our day-to-day lives, right? Now, it makes it clear then that the invisible presence of his Holy Spirit is guiding us through that. Whenever we are in doubt about how God wants us to live, we must pray and search for that truth in the scripture. You getting that, Leah? Yeah? Guys? Pray and search the Bible for that light. That's how we get through our day-to-day life. And it's challenging. We deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and walk with the Lord. Okay? Sound good? Beautiful. All right, let's go and pray. Thanks, guys. Father, we thank you for this time as we study your word, and we understand who you are and what you've done. Knowing the Old Testament is the anticipation of Christ himself coming to redeem his people, to save which are lost, as we want to be here today to proclaim that truth that the gospel's out for everyone, Lord, is there for everyone. And we need to preach that to all those around us, knowing that God is the light and our Savior and our protector. And we must trust in him fully. And we thank you for that. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your spirit guiding us in the word. And thank you for you, as you rightly deserve to be glorified. It is in your name we pray, amen.